Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, if there's anything that living through this pandemic has taught us, it's that we need God and His Word, the Bible, more than ever. And because of this, Pastor Rick has decided to bring us the third installment of his powerful series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. Stay with us as we continue with our series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's wonderful book, The Purpose of Christmas, just in time for the season. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Reduces Quarreling.
Now today we're going to continue in part 21 of this series, and I want us to look at a faith that reduces quarrels, a faith that reduces quarrels. Now first, I decided this week I would just look up the word quarrel. So I typed it in for a definition in the internet, and the first definition that came up was this. I thought it was pretty funny. A heated argument, a quarrel, is a heated argument, typically about a trivial issue, between two people who are usually on good terms. Now, let me say that again. It's a heated argument, typically about a trivial issue, between people who are usually on good terms. Have you ever had a quarrel with your wife or your husband? Thousands of them. Of course you have. Now, what's the difference between a fight and a quarrel? A fight can be physical. It can actually get physical. But a quarrel is always verbal. Now, let me read to you what James has to say about quarrels in James chapter 4, 1 to 10. Here's what he says. He gets right to the point. What causes quarrels and arguments with each other? He says they come from the conflicting, selfish desires that are always fighting inside you. You want things that you don't have, so you're ready to kill to get them. And you covet. You covet what other people have, but you can't get it, so you quarrel. And you get in fights. But you don't have because you don't ask God for it. And if you ask, you don't receive it because you ask with the wrong motivation. You only want what gives you pleasure. And then he says, you cheat on God when you have an affair with what the world values. To love what the world loves is to hate God and to be the enemy of God. This is what the scripture means when it says that God's spirit who lives inside of us is intensely jealous. He wants our exclusive love. That's why he gives us so much grace. Now, as the scripture says, God opposes the prideful, but he gives grace to the humble. So, give yourselves completely to God. Then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. So wash your hands of all your sins and purify your hearts of your double-minded living. Be sad and sorry and grieve over your actions and stop laughing at your sin and get serious about it. Because if you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. Now that passage is packed with enough material for about 10 messages. But we're going to look at it from the angle of the very first question, what causes quarrels? And then right after that, James gives us six or seven really good steps on how to lower the number of arguments in your life, the number of quarrels in your life, the number of fights, verbal fights in your life. Now, he starts off right at the beginning and say, what causes quarrels? And the answer, you saw it in that verse, is, write this down, conflicting desires inside me. Conflicting desires inside me. James chapter 4, verse 1 says this. What causes quarrels and arguments with each other? They come from the conflicting, selfish desires that are always fighting inside you. Now notice that God says your conflict and your quarrel and your arguments with others is really deeply rooted in the conflict going on inside you. It's not just out there with somebody else. There's a conflict going on in you. And he says, if you were really more at peace with yourself, you'd be a whole lot more at peace with other people. And they would be less likely to hook you into an argument or a quarrel or a conflict. And so James says, if I want to reduce conflict in my life, then I first need to reduce the internal conflict that's going on inside of me. And of course, our biggest conflict is always with God. It's our selfish desires are in a war with what God wants for our lives. That's what Galatians says. In Galatians 5:17, it says this: our sinful desires want what is the opposite of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit wants what is contrary to our sinful desires. So the two are constantly fighting each other. So you cannot just do whatever you please. That's Galatians. You cannot just do whatever you please. Now, if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to underline or circle that last phrase. You cannot just do whatever you please. You see, that's our conflict with God in a nutshell. It's the reason people rebel against God. It's the reason people reject God. It's the reason because everybody wants to do what they want to do. They want to do as they please. Today, that's the number one value in our culture. Do whatever you please. Okay? If it feels good, do it. Ignore God, ignore others, just do whatever you please. Now, he says that's the cause of the conflict. The internal conflict in you and you wanting to do whatever you please, that when I won't do what I want to do and you want to do what you want to do, there's going to be sparks. But then in the next verse 2 to verse 10, James mentions some solutions. But first, he mentions some of these conflicting desires. In verse 2, he says, you know, one of the conflicting desires we have is, I want more possessions. He said, that causes conflict. When I want more possessions, James 4, verse 2, you want things you don't have. That's called materialism. So you're ready to kill and could get them. You know, I'd kill for that. And you covet what others have, but you can't get it, so you quarrel and you get into fights. He said, a lot of fights get people fight over land, people fight over cars, people fight over homes, people fight over jobs. There's all kinds of possessions people will fight over. They take each other to court all the time. I want more possessions. In the next verse, he says, I want more pleasure. And in verse 3, James 4, 3 says, you only want what gives you pleasure. He says, that causes problem. When my pleasure interrupts your pleasure or vice versa, we got a conflict. You know, another universal desire that causes conflict is, I want more power. I want more prestige. I want more popularity. Jesus said this about one group of people in John 12:43. He said, they loved being praised by people more than being praised by God. That causes a lot of conflict today. When you care more about the approval of people than the approval of God, it's going to cause quarrels. Now, nobody really likes conflict. We want to avoid it. We want to ignore it. We want to sweep it under the carpet. You know, usually in a marriage, a skunk marries a turtle. There's two ways to respond to conflict. A skunk, when they get mad, they just stink up the place. Everybody knows they're mad. A turtle pulls into shell. Skunks always marry turtles. But the fact is, nobody really likes conflict. Quarreling is not comfortable. In fact, it makes us very uncomfortable. But as long as we live on a broken planet, and as long as we all have the freedom of choice to make mistakes, I make them all the time, people are going to get hurt. So the question that I want us to look at today in James chapter 4 is the question that James answers. And it is this question: what will help me quarrel less? I want to be quarrelless. I want to quarrel less. How can I reduce the frequency of arguments and quarrels in my life? How can I reduce the frequency of quarrels in my marriage? How can I reduce the frequency of quarrels in my family, with my neighbors, at work, and even in my church family? You can have a quarrel in a small group. Now, in these verses, James offers 7 helpful insights. And because you're going to have quarrels the rest of your life, I highly recommend that you print out this outline and you get a pencil and you take notes.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Christmas is right around the corner. Where has the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of this inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004.
Once again, here's Rick.
Here's the starting point. Step one, we're going to go straight through this text. Step one is realize how destructive quarreling is. That's the first step. I got to realize how destructive quarreling is. Now, confession's good for the soul. I have to admit to you, personally, that until I started studying for this message, I didn't realize how much God has to say in the Bible about the subject of quarreling. I literally went from Genesis to Revelation. I studied it all, and I discovered dozens and dozens of examples of quarreling, and I discovered over 75 different teachings about quarreling in the Bible. Did you know that? It's a big deal to God. Now, it's evident that the families in the Bible were no different than our families today because everybody quarreled. The very first two brothers, Cain and Abel, had a quarrel, resulted in a murder. Abraham and Sarah, the husband and wife, quarreled. Jacob and Esau quarreled. Joseph and his brothers quarreled. Abraham and his nephew Lot quarreled with Uncle Abraham. Now, I don't have the time to go through all of the verses that I looked at with you today, but I just want to give you a little flavor of them and show you some of them on the screen. Now, at least six times in the Word of God, God commands us to never quarrel. Did you hear that? Never quarrel. At least six times. Ephesians 4, verse 31 says this, quarreling, Living Bible, quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. No place. He said you should never have any quarreling in your life. God says that quarreling is a mark of immaturity. Did you know that? He said, if I quarrel with other people, it means I'm not as mature as I think I am. 1 Corinthians 3:3 in the Living Bible says this, you are still only baby Christians. You're controlled by your own desires, not God's. And when you're jealous, and when you divide into quarreling groups, doesn't that prove you're still babies, wanting your own way? In fact, you're acting like people who don't even belong to the Lord at all. It says quarreling is a mark of spiritual immaturity. Then God says that people who start quarrels are troublemakers. The book of Proverbs is very rich in verses on this, but Proverbs 16:28 says, a devious troublemaker starts quarrels, and their gossip separates the closest of friends. He said, if I start quarrels, I'm a devious troublemaker. Now, God also says that if we serve the Lord, like you're serving the Lord, like I'm serving the Lord, we are forbidden to quarrel. As a pastor, I am not allowed to quarrel with anybody. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says this, Living, New Living, as the Lord's servant, you must never quarrel. You must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and patient with difficult people. That's part of the characteristics of being a pastor. Okay? I've got to never quarrel with anybody, kind to everybody, able to teach, and patient with difficult people. By the way, God says that it's my job as your pastor to remind you to not quarrel over politics, no matter who's elected. You say, where is that in the scripture? Well, Paul told this to a pastor named Titus. He wrote two books to pastors, two to Timothy and one to Titus. Titus 3, 1 and 2 says this. He says to a pastor, remind your people to submit to the government and its officers, and they should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not speak evil of anyone, and they must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show humility to everybody. Oh my goodness. That's the verse that probably most of us wish wasn't in the Bible, but it's there. And I'm called as a pastor to tell you that. So no matter who gets elected president, they said, you're not supposed to speak evil of them and you're not supposed to quarrel about them. Paul told Timothy, who's another pastor, this, 2 Timothy 2:14, warn believers before God against quarreling about words. Quarreling has no value, and it only ruins those who listen to it. Quarreling has no value, and it only ruins those who listen to it. I'm just going through a little quick rundown of some of these verses, because I want you to get how important this is. God says the root of all quarrels is pride. 1 Timothy 6:4-5. Listen to this, God's Word translation. The conceited person shows that he doesn't understand anything. The conceited person shows that he doesn't understand anything. Rather, he has an unhealthy desire to argue and quarrel about words. This produces jealousy, rivalry, cursing, suspicion, conflict between people whose corrupted minds have been robbed of the truth. Does that sound like our culture today? On the other hand, God also says that staying out of quarrels shows both maturity and character. Proverbs 20, verse 3 in the Message. It's a mark of good character to avert quarrels, but fools love to pick fights. Am I a fool or am I mature? Finally, God says that quarreling can lead to massive destruction like a dam that explodes and unleashes a flood of destruction. Proverbs 17, verse 14. Starting a quarrel, God says, is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before the dispute breaks out. How much damage has been done because a little quarrel escalated into a civil war? Or a world war, or whatever. Notice the verse on your outline, Proverbs 11:29. Proverbs 11:29, Living Bible, says this, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. He said, that's the destructive power of quarreling. Now, that's just a sample of what God has to say about it. But based on these few verses, then, James then gives us the steps to reducing quarrels. First, I said, understand how destructive it is. We just looked at all those verses. Second, here's the second step. Decide that I want to change and ask forgiveness. If I really realize I don't want to be a quarreler anymore, I don't want to be an arguer anymore, I don't want to be a fighter anymore. I've done that in my life. I'm tired of that. I've seen the destruction and devastation. I don't like that. I want the rest of my life to be different. Then number two, I decide that I want to change. He said, I'm just not going to quarrel with people anymore. And I ask God for forgiveness for all the times that I did get hooked and I hooked others. James says what we all know, that we never change until we get fed up with the way we're living, or the habit that we've been putting up with, or the sin that's in our lives. And, it starts by getting serious and saying, okay, I'm just not going to be a quarreling person anymore. I don't want to be that. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I'm going to ask for the power to change. I don't want to live that way for the rest of my life. I'm tired of being me, cranky. I'm going to call it what it is. Quarreling is a sin, and I don't like it. I don't like it in me. I don't like it in anybody else. I don't like it what it does to me. So I'm going to get serious about it, and I'm going to grieve over it, and I want to stop making excuses for it. You might want to set aside some time this week to confess your part in all the quarrels you've been in and ask God for forgiveness and ask Him to give you the power to change.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, so many of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like to let you know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, every message I teach through Daily Hope is based on God's Word, and that's because God's Word should be the only source and authority in our lives. Nothing else should be our ultimate guide. Nothing else but God's truth can transform our lives. Let me read you a letter from a young woman named Raquel in Mexico who's building her life on God's Word. Here's what Raquel wrote. Pastor Rick, all of us go through afflictions, and I want to thank you because lately I've been going through these trials and tests, and when I read the Word and listen to you, I can keep on going. I was born in a Christian family, but I really gave my life to Christ just 6 years ago, and now I lead worship in my church, and I help women that have gone through or are facing things that I went through. She adds, God bless you, and may He keep using Daily Hope to expand His kingdom. You know, listen, it is such an encouragement to hear from listeners like Raquel and like you. It's an encouragement to hear how God is using Daily Hope to keep you in His Word. That's my goal for you, that you'll stay in God's Word, because when you know the truth sets you free. I want you to hear God's Word, then you'll be able to encourage other people with God's hope. You know, Raquel is now using the hurts from her past to help others going through the same difficult circumstances. And that's what God wants you to do with your hurt. God never wastes the hurt. He wants you to use it. Part of your purpose is to help other people by sharing your story and telling them about how God is transforming your life. Think about that.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.